All right. It is a great pleasure again to be here at Bald Eagle Baptist Church in Port Matilda, Pennsylvania.
Don't even bother you.
All right. I never knew that there was a Port Matilda, and it is a great pleasure to be here. We have enjoyed our time with Terry and Judy and meeting Pastor last night for a little while. We enjoy this area. As you may know, Illinois is flat. And so this is a little bit of a change for us, and it's so good to be here. We have been serving with Independent Gospel Missions now for about 8 years, and just enjoy what we're doing. Now, we pastored for 20 years, and I enjoyed pastoring. I had a good time pastoring. But I enjoy doing what I'm doing now. The Lord has directed us to do that, do this with a missions emphasis, and we just have a ball working with national pastors and with the orphans. We talked a great deal about the orphan ministry this morning in the Sunday school hour. My wife does have a few brochures concerning the orphan ministry. If anyone would be interested, you can see her afterwards and learn a little bit more about that. I so appreciate Brother Small asking us to come. We have known his sister for several years, and her and her husband are special friends of ours, and he invited us anyway. I was talking to Brother Single here a while back and mentioned that we were coming, and he said, well, Pastor Spall's a little bit strange. And I looked at Brother Single and I said, and you're not? Anyway, we have a good time with Brother Dave Single. I so appreciate Brother Spall allowing us to come. Like I said, having pastored for 20 years, it was always somewhat with fear and trembling when I had someone come in and fill the pulpit when I didn't know them. So I appreciate his having us come and allowing me to stand in this sacred desk. Homecoming Sunday, 176 years. That is a testimony of God's grace and God's provision and of people's faithfulness. And I just commend this church. No, none of you have been here 176 years, but you're still faithful, and I appreciate that so much. We do need that in our nation today. I want to bring a message this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 8 in this this passage, a very familiar passage. We look at it, looking at the hall of faith, the great men and women of God who displayed such faith in serving the Lord. But I think we have an example here of homecoming, and I hope from this we can draw something that will be a help. Beginning at verse 8, it says, "And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd add Your blessing to the reading of Your Word. And Father, might You just give power as Your Word goes forth. Lord, just direct these lips. I pray that Your Spirit would have freedom to work in each and every heart. Lord, how we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The One who died on the cross in our place, shed His precious blood that we might be cleansed, and rose again the third day that we might be justified. And Lord, we just pray that You would just have Your way in each life this morning. We thank You for this homecoming Sunday. And Lord, might it remind us of a greater homecoming. We thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's many passages that we could use for a text for homecoming. As we think of homecoming, we might think of the passage in Luke where the prodigal son left home. And what a blessing when he returned home and his father ran out to meet him. He was contrite. He was broken. But his father was more than willing to receive him home. Well, how that reminds us of the love of our Heavenly Father, who's willing to receive us. And I'm sure there's many others that we could think of. But here we see of a homecoming and a homegoing, if you will, because there's two sides of homecoming. There's the homecoming. Those of you here at Bald Eagle Baptist Church, you were putting on a homecoming. But those of us that came to join you, we were looking forward to a homegoing. I've had opportunity, praise the Lord, to travel to many different countries, serving the Lord. But you know, one thing was always the same. I looked forward to going home. Especially if Rita wasn't with me when I went. There's been some occasions when I had to travel without her. And I always looked forward to getting back home. Because I knew that my wife was waiting for me. I knew there was bills to be paid and other things. But I was looking forward to going home. What do we think of when we hear of a homecoming? Going back to that place that we at one time knew so well. We had connections. We had friends. Sometimes those connections and those memories are only sentimental. Why? Because things change. I've had experiences when we've been gone for a time. After growing up in a church, calling it my home church, was in the military for 4 years. And after 4 years away, moved back to Illinois. We got back into the church. And you know what? While we were gone, those little kids that were running around had grown up. Huh? And yes, some older friends had passed on. The same thing when we went away to Bible school. I was an old man when I went to Bible school. We had three children. We'd been serving in our home church as youth directors and teaching in Sunday school and so forth. We was gone for 4 years, and our pastor invited us to come back as assistant pastor. And again, the same thing. Things had changed. Those children that we'd been teaching in the youth group, some of them now had children. Things change. And we realize that. We know that. The house that I grew up in, the house that I came to know the Lord in, one evening came home from school and our pastor was there. And he helped to supplement his income by selling feed for animals And my father, being a farmer, he was there trying to make a sale. But while he was there, he gathered my brother and sister and myself around him, and he shared the gospel with us. I can remember that place in that old house where I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. But you know what? That place is not there any longer. The house is gone. The house that Rita lived in when I first got to know her and spent many, many times together with her and her family, that house has been demolished. Only the memories are left. So homecoming is not always what we might think it to be. Things change, do they not? Going back, those connections may no longer be there. People change. Not only do they grow older, but sometimes friendships cool down. Now, if you're not around those old friends that you grew up with, friendships just aren't the same. I went through school basically with the same group of children, young people, that I started out in school with. After we graduated from high school, they started having their reunions about every 5 years. The early reunions, I had no desire to attend because they always had alcohol involved and so forth. And then as years went along, it just seemed like it never fit into our schedule to be there when it was going on. Here about 4 years ago, I received an email from one of my high school buddies, and he had some pictures of the reunion. Now, this was about the 40th year. I'm telling my age. But anyway, I had to send him an email back. He said, "Who are all those old guys?" I think I couldn't even recognize some of them. But we change, don't we? And yet we might still look forward to a homecoming. It's good to go back where we call home at times and to renew those memories and have those pleasant thoughts. It may encourage us to make the place that we are now a little more homey and build some memories where we're at today. There's some things that are similar to any homecoming. Homecoming and homegoing, I'm thinking about. Rita and I received an invitation to be part of this homecoming. And I'm sure that many of you that are no longer here, you received an invitation to come and be part of this 176th anniversary Sunday, this homecoming. And for whatever reason that you're out of town, you may look forward to this time, seeing some old friends, and getting to know some new friends. At every homecoming, there's an invitation. And there's an invitation to a great homegoing. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What an invitation from our Savior. Come unto me. Where else can we go? Our world offers many different things, trying to alleviate the sorrows, the burdens, everything from drugs and alcohol to psychology and psychiatry and all the rest. But the only thing that truly helps is knowing our Savior. And He says, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." What an invitation. Do you realize that when we come to Jesus, we can drop everything at His feet? The burden of guilt and sin, all of our problems, He'll help us to carry. Come unto me. What an invitation. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, it says, But Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Even the small children Jesus loved and cared for and invited to come to Him. Many times we think of children as not so important. It's more important to reach the adults. Do you realize children are easier to reach than adults? Us old guys, we're kind of set in our ways. Huh? The children. That's why the cults, that's why the Muslims want to try to reach the children. I was talking to a man in Kenya, and he was involved in a ministry. They were going in and drilling wells and building schools to reach the children for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Muslims were coming in and they were building schools because they wanted to capture the children before they reached 5 years of age. Because if they could get them by five, they had them for life. Oh, it's important to reach the children. And I know we've all heard the statistics, and if you don't reach a child by such and such an age, it's more difficult. Children. Jesus loves children and invites children to come unto Him. Yes, He loves us as well. In John chapter 6 and verse 65, "And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." We have a Heavenly Father that extends that invitation through His Son. Jesus Christ came as an example, a manifestation of a Heavenly Father that loves us. In our home church right now, we're going through a series of lessons in Sunday school, changed into His image. And it's interesting, as we look at that, we see that Jesus Christ came to manifest or show to us a little more clearly that we have a God in heaven that loves us. As we was going through the lesson one Sunday, I came to realize it's more difficult to get a picture in our mind of what God is like without Jesus Christ. Huh? I mean, we know He's holy. We know He's righteous. We know He's eternal. We know He's omnipotent and all those other things. We can list off the attributes of God. But until we really see Jesus Christ, we have a hard time really understanding it all. And we still don't get it all. But Jesus Christ came to reveal to man the love of God. "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, what a blessing to have a Savior who extends that invitation. A Father in heaven who extends an invitation to a homecoming. A great homecoming, an eternal homecoming. In John 7 and verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What do we thirst for today? What do we thirst for in our society? Some people thirst for power. Some people for recognition and prominence. But how many of us thirst after those spiritual things? The things of God. If any man thirst, when Jesus met the woman at the well, she didn't understand at first. When Jesus offered that water that she would never thirst again, she said, "Give me that water. How are you going to get it? The well's deep. You don't have any way to draw it." She didn't understand until He explained Himself and revealed Himself to her as being the Messiah, the Christ. Do we thirst after God? Do we thirst after Jesus Christ as we should? Well, we have an invitation to drink of that living water. The invitation coming from the church since the beginning of the church has been, come to Jesus and be saved. Come to Jesus and receive forgiveness. Come to Jesus and have eternal life. Come to Jesus and have a home in heaven. That home that Abraham was looking for, built by God. What a home. I think also every homecoming has preparation. The members of Bald Eagle Baptist Church have been busy making certain preparations for this day. For those of us who are guests, for those who are attending, the meal, invitations being sent out. I mean, we could go on and on with the invitation, with the preparations. And I'm sure that there are some that have been very busy in that preparation. And we appreciate that, the efforts that have been put forward. But do you think of the preparations that are being made for that homecoming in heaven? A very familiar passage, John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Yes, a familiar passage, but every time I hear that passage, it just causes me to be thrilled. I mean, there's preparation being made. Over 2,000 years, Jesus has been preparing mansions in His Father's house for His bride, the church. Now, I don't know how long you folks have been preparing for this homecoming. Weeks, months. You've been planning, you've been putting things together. You ladies have been thinking about what can I take, what dishes can I take, what is my specialty, what is everyone gonna... No, you didn't do it. Anyway, what can I take? There's been preparation. But I'm sure that it hasn't taken you 2,000 years. Huh? But Jesus has been working for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, preparing a place for those who were invited to this homecoming. What is it going to be? What's it going to be like? We're not even given a small glimpse of what it's going to be like. But if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, co-creator, is preparing a place for us, I know that it's going to be the best that He can provide, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be eternal. And best of all, we're going to be with Him for all eternity. The preparations that are being made, we have to be prepared also. Those of us that travel to Bald Eagle Baptist Church, we had to make some preparations. For the last 3.5 years, we've been caring for my mother who had a stroke back then. And we had to make some preparation to have someone come in and care for her while we're gone. Some of you have traveled, maybe not as far as we have, but you had to make some preparations. For the church, there needs to be some preparations. The Lord is coming. Oh, what a day that'll be. But are we prepared? Are we ready? When a church or any group has a homecoming, there's several reasons to have that homecoming. There's the element of having those that have moved away to return and renew those the friendships and you know, find out what's going on in their lives and that sort of thing. But there's also the invitation for those in the community, surrounding areas, to come out to this homecoming and this anniversary because something special is going on. We would like to see anyone come. That's the way it is any time when the church doors open. We'd like to see anyone come in. I've seen times when stood in the pulpit and said, please, Lord, send somebody in. No, but we're glad to see someone come. Not so with this homegoing. Only those that have received the invitation, received the Lord Jesus Christ, will be part of this homegoing. Abraham looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. There are many who think they will be there. They think they'll be there because of their good works. They think they'll be there because of their position in a church somewhere. But Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Ye that work iniquity. But wait, Lord, we've done mighty works in your name. Ye that work iniquity. But we've cast out demons in your name. Ye that work iniquity. How could the Lord say that? Because they did not accept Him as the Christ, the Savior. They were doing those mighty works in His name, but they were not part of Him. My wife's testimony this morning, she was a lost church member. I don't know the membership of Bald Eagle Baptist Church, but it's very possible that there's some lost church members here. You may be faithful at church. I mean, you have your seat and nobody dares sit in your seat. Huh? I mean, you're there every service. Huh? But would it not be a shame if in that day Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, the Lord promised to prepare a place for His own children, those that are saved. He promised to prepare a place for the bride, the church. Not the earthly church, the church of Jesus Christ. Unlike our homecoming, You know, we were invited to come on November the 6th and 7th to be part of the homecoming. I believe Pastor sent us an email telling us what time the services were and so on and so forth. What our responsibilities would be to teach Sunday school and bring the morning message and preach this evening and tomorrow night. All that's planned. We know what's basically know what's happening. There's always strange things that happen. But anyway, you know, we don't know when this homegoing is going to take place. Oh, there have been those that have said, I know when Jesus is coming back. We had one just recently that proved himself to be a fool. Jesus told us we do not know. Jesus said, I don't even know. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. But he did tell us in Matthew 25 and verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Even though we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we are still commanded to watch. Now that doesn't mean we go outside and we look up in the sky and spend all day watching. No, that watching is a busy serving Him, busy doing His will, busy because He is coming. Along with that, there's an urgency, is there not? There's an urgency to reach those that are not ready for His coming. There's an urgency to reach out to those who have not responded to the invitation. There's an urgency as we watch and we know that the Lord is returning to help those prepare, because He is coming again. The hope of the church from its very beginnings was that Jesus is coming again. As those people stood on the mountaintop on that day when Jesus ascended back into heaven, and the angel appeared and said, the same Jesus that you've seen go up, He's coming back again. He's coming again. And that has been the hope of the church since that day. Peter and Paul, those early Christians, their hope was that Jesus is coming again. Were they disappointed that the Lord didn't come in their day? No. But they were expectant. They were watching, working, praying. Should we be any less expectant after over 2,000 years of Him being in heaven with His Heavenly Father? He's coming again. Now we can look at the prophecies. We can say there's nothing that's unfulfilled prophetically that's hindering the Lord's return. Why hasn't Jesus come yet? I don't know. I mean, we can cite the mercy of God. He's still extending His grace. He's still saying, come unto me. I don't know. I'm ready to go home. Get me out of this old world. But He's saying, you still have work to do. Huh? There's still work for your Savior. Homecoming. Sweet time. How about that home going? There's a song that I've heard years ago now, but it just a favorite song of mine, Finally Home. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. The chorus, I won't attempt to sing it, but the chorus goes like this. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. This old world is not our home. We're just passing through. Oh, that we might be more like Abraham and realize we're just pilgrims. He was promised that land as an inheritance. But he realized that that really wasn't his inheritance. Oh, it was going to be the homeland of a nation that would come from his seed. But his home is in that city that was built by God. His home was an eternal place. His home was where he would be with God for eternity. Where's your home? Yes, it's great to come back. It's great to have fellowship and get to know old friends over again. But oh, how great it will be to see Jesus face to face for the first time. How great it will be to go home and find that it's truly home. Maybe you've had the experience of going home where it was not so pleasant, where old bitternesses and old arguments were brought up. That won't happen in heaven. All the things of this earth will fall away, and all of our thoughts will be on Jesus, our Heavenly Father, in eternity. The invitation is there. Come unto me. Preparation is needed. But the question is, will you be there? Will Jesus call your name? Will you be in heaven with Him? The same Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, the same Jesus who came to this earth to be a sacrifice for our sins, the same Jesus who went to a cross and bled and died and rose again that we might have eternal life, is coming again to take His church home. Will you be there? Homecoming. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Yes, a simple message. Homecoming. But I'm looking forward to a home going. I'm looking forward to that trumpet sound. I'm looking forward to the voice of Jesus saying, "Come up hither." Are you? If you're here this morning and you're not sure of salvation, if you're not sure of heaven, the invitation is going out. The Lord Jesus Christ is sending forth that invitation, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Will you trust Him today? Will you receive Him? Child of God, are you watching? Are you ready for His coming? He's coming again. It could be today. Could be today. If you're here this morning and you need to be saved, I'd invite you to come and take this pastor's hand. He'll have someone show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Christian, if you're living a life that you're not prepared for His coming, today would be a good day to confess your sin, to repent, and come home. Because the Heavenly Father is waiting to come out and receive you in His arms and welcome you home.